Taking you up to 6:30 on this Thursday, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. I'm on Twitter at Grant Paulson. No H these days.
No H. That H is for somebody else, not Jeeps.
I'm on Instagram at Grant H Paulson. Been trying to do more Instagramming, less Xing. Xing just, don't get me wrong, I'm still there.
Okay.
I still post.
Okay.
It just feels like an endangered species a little bit, doesn't it?
I don't know. It's all the same to me, but I basically said I'm...
I think it stinks on ice.
Well, I realize every time I have something that someone might be able to disagree with, and it just descends very, very quickly. You know the replies to it?
Oh, that I'm not concerned it's always about, just, but yes.
I don't mean like, I disagree. Well, here's my reasoning for that. It's I don't know where they come from. I don't know who they are, but it's like, you know, the thing that you're insecure about, it's worse than you think, and you suck. And if you just weren't around, it'd be better.
No, Twitter's always been a cesspool. I don't even mean that. I just mean in general. I feel like... I don't know, I just feel like the app's the worst that it's ever been for me, by far.
Interesting.
I can't find, like, I don't know if yours is updated. Find the things you liked.
Oh.
Can you do that right now?
It takes a second. I have to click on more things than I'd like to.
What a gigantic pain in the ass that is.
Yeah, so
everything that I liked about Twitter at some point has gotten worse. Every feature, everything, it's like they're, if I didn't know any better, I would assume they're purposefully trying to ruin it.
Well, that's always been my feeling about whatever... the app or social media, whatever it is, the instant I'm comfortable and know where everything is, they're like, here's another change. Oh, now I don't know where I can find the thing. So your likes, for example, are in history. Why? I don't know why. They put it there. They used to be just right there. Can I just find it? I
want to
find
the heart. It. Click it.
Yeah.
There it is.
I want to see what it is.
It's the way Dad did it. It's the way Grandpa did it. It's the way Uncle Johnny did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way Brother Tony does it for some reason. Like, name a thing that was good about that app.
Yep.
It's worse. Now, I'm not punting. I'm not moving along. I'm still there. But it's just not as fun for me. So wherever you are on social media, we're there. Find us. Follow us. Means a lot. Thank you. Very sweet of you. We appreciate you. And if you can send us chocolate chip cookies, we'll take those too. I'm not asking for chocolate chip cookies.
No one is sitting here asking for chocolate chip cookies. That would be weird and wrong.
It's not something we would do on this radio program.
But if they were here, who'd be really happy? Raise your hands.
Darius raised his hand. Danny raised
his hand.
I raised my hand.
Toby didn't raise his hand, by the way.
I can't see. He's blocked by computers. Is he still over there?
He's over there.
Okay.
He didn't raise his hand. That was like kind of 8 Mile style, where it's like everybody from the 313, he didn't put his hand up.
You forget about Toki. He doesn't eat anything other than meals. He does not snack. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
That is true.
Toby eats meals.
Meals.
But does not eat any snacks. Chips are not interesting. Cheez-Its, pretzels, nothing. He's not interested.
He waits to the meal.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a strange thing?
It is. It is a little odd.
How long have you done it that way, by the way, Toby? As a kid, did you do that? Like, you never had little snacks throughout the day?
No. My entire life.
Just three squares and that's it.
And how hardened are you on this?
I mean, I'll snack if something's out there. Like, if someone brought cookies by, I'd eat a cookie. But it's not like I'm searching one out.
But on a normal day, it's totally fair to say you would not, like, go home and just eat some pretzels or...
The amount of times that chips have been bought for me in my lifetime and then I never open that bag of chips and throw it away... is more than I can count.
Never open that bag of chips.
What a thing to say.
I mean, Temptation Island, the siren call is right there, that crunchy, salty joy. And you're like, not for me.
What a thing to say. Yeah, he's a meal guy. Josh Connerly needs to be a block the guy in front of him guy this year.
We need that guy.
In a big, big way. Without Laremy Tunsil, a little more pressure on Connerly to grow up real fast. Caught up with him at training camp today and asked him, how he feels things are going as the, you know, fans are no longer out at practice, that they're not blaring the music from the speakers in the same way. How do you keep the intensity up as camp continues without fans now?
Just competing, you know. We all have a job to do out here. You know, we just go out here and execute and get our minds right. So, yeah.
You guys had the joint practice last week against Miami that helps get you up to speed. Didn't play in the game. No joint practice this week. We're still not sure what's going to happen in the game. But how do you feel about your kind of readiness at this point as you close in on the start of the regular season?
I feel like I'm ready to go.
Are you, as far as like game activity, do you benefit from that or do you get enough work in the joint practices?
No, I mean, I feel like game gives you a little taste of what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like getting game reps is good too.
As far as camp goes, you guys are operating against a new defense. Yeah. They brought in a lot of pass rushing talent, and Durante moves those guys around. Right. How do you feel like that's gone, getting a look at one of the more exotic groups in the league?
Yeah, no, it's definitely helped me a lot. I feel like across the board, it's helped us a lot too, just going against a lot of movement and lots of different people in lots of different places. So once we play a similar team that runs a similar defense, we'll just, you know, be adapted to it. So
you talked early in camp about your offseason. Yeah. Did a lot of work with Laramie and obviously came back in incredible shape. Had some goals, I'm sure, to start the season. Yeah. How did you feel like the offseason execution, what you did as a plan, like affected your camp and just helped you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like stepped out into camp a lot more ready, physically and mentally, spiritually. You know what I'm saying? I feel like every way that I could have been better, I was, and still improving every day. And that's my goal. So,
Josh Connerly on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Specific to losing Laramie on the left side and Brandon now coming in, it's so far away from where you're at on the offensive line. You may not feel it directly, but you tell me, you know, he's a gravitational guy. He's one of the best tackles ever. How does that affect you, if at all?
I mean, obviously, it affected me a lot when he first went down. Just felt really bad for him because it sucks to see, like, all the work get put in, and then it kind of just goes out the window in like, a snap of the finger, you know what I'm saying? So that sucked. But, I mean, not having him on the field is, I mean, it's kind of detrimental to everybody around our offense, you know, changes a few things. But not really. I mean, BC's a good player as well. And he's played high-level left-tackle football, you know what I'm saying? And he'll be just fine. And, we're praying that LT gets back when he can, but, you know, there's no rush.
Yeah, the human element's obvious, right, as a buddy. I'm more thinking of, like, football, right tackle versus left tackle. And I guess your point is you plug in Brandon, which makes sense. But do you see any difference in terms of defensive fronts or anything like that without him on the field?
No, not really. I mean, when it comes to rushers, like, rushers are going to rush where they're comfortable at. They're going to rush over the left tackle or over the right tackle, no matter where they're comfortable. So that's how I feel.
Off the field during training camp, what were you doing to get your mind away from football and have a little peace?
Talking to my family. I feel like it's the biggest thing for me. And then just recovering, you know. I feel like that's the biggest thing, is making sure my body's right. And I feel like that, as long as I get up in the morning and I feel good, that's peace to me.
Do you jump on the laptop in the hotel or whatever and try to binge TV shows, or what kind of entertainment do you enjoy?
Yeah, I've watched a few TV shows over the past couple months, some good ones on Netflix and so, but really just watch some film too, make sure I'm right on that part too, so yeah.
Appreciate you, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you.
It's Josh Connerly. I think he's actually sneaky one of the most important players on the team this year, because he's a guy that the disconnect between, in my opinion, what he's capable of, what could be, and what I've seen so far is a pretty big gap. Last year, he got off to the really rough start, and I think we've mostly chalked that up to going up against just elite edge rushers every single week for a month. And as the year went on, to his credit, he got better and better and better. But you look back at the totality of the season, and for a first-round tackle, it was fine. You know, a little bit underwhelming to fine.
Mm-hmm.
So then he has this big offseason, and he comes back in incredible shape. He's still got the baby face and looks like a child, you know, in the face. I mean, it's amazing. But he has gotten bigger and stronger and kind of leaned out and did a really, really good offseason program with Laramie Tunsil and on his own. But at training camp, again, I'm not pretending to be a scout. I always acknowledge I see what I see, and it's my opinion, and maybe I'm not completely right on this. But I would say he has been, at best, I would say, inconsistent. You know, but it's been up and down throughout camp, where guys like Joshua Josephs, who you'll hear from next hour, who's had a hell of a camp, the rookie out of Tennessee, like, he gets after him physically with his length and his physicality and just being able to bull rush him. He really struggles with bull rushes, to me, with powerful guys like that. And
that, to me, was kind of the big thing that needed to improve. It
exactly.
We knew that coming in, right? So, hey, this is an unfinished product. That's a raw mold of clay, but great feet. There's a thing that a lot of tackles or a lot of guards will never have, and that's Josh Connerly's feet. His ability to move quickly and, you know, those the different shuttle drills and kind of that cheat code that a lot of the scouts and the Twitterati will talk about among linemen. If you're able to do this shuttle in this amount of time, there's a great correlation with NFL success. And he's got that athleticism, but the strength part isn't there. You go, no problem. That's something that's easier to grow than athleticism. Has it happened yet? And how does it manifest itself for him as a player? Strength helps you, yes, but now do we have the technique to kind of match it? This is a huge year for him because it ain't easy.
And that gets me back to kind of my big picture point on him, which is I wanted to go to training camp this year and to watch practices and go, what a leap he made. And I do not feel that way watching him. Now, it may turn out that that's exactly what happens when the lights come on and the games start. It may absolutely go that way. That's really what I'm banking on, though, because as a first-round tackle, and I know he's not the fifth or seventh overall pick. He was much closer to the second round than that at the very end of the first round. But you're expecting a second contract, 10-year tackle, plug-and-play, guy you don't have to worry about at all. And there's still definitely a trajectory toward that. I don't want this to be an overly negative conversation, but there's a leap that needs to be made here big time. And especially after the Tunsil injury, they need him to really take a big step forward. But a really, really genuinely nice kid. Good to talk to him.
He looks so young, by the way. Amazing. I know it's not the point of this, and I can't get over it.
It is wild.
Like, I know all these guys are 20, 21, 22 years old, and I'm way older, more than twice their age, but in most cases.
Nobody looks as young as him.
He looks like a really big kid.
He really does. This is not meant as a slight. He looks like he could play against one of your kids in sports, like, mm-hmm. in the face. He just has a baby face.
He does. I understand. This is a guy in his early 20s, an NFL player. There was a kid that my 8-year-old played against in a soccer tournament, like the big kid. You look over the sideline, you see his parents, and they're twice the size of everybody else. You go, okay, he's probably somebody who accomplished something athletically at one point. And this kid was a foot taller than everybody. Like, he looked like Josh Connerly. Does that make any sense? Like, if you swap them, you'd go, you swap the heads. You go, yeah, that fits.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. ESPN.com had a piece they wrote, 2027 NFL quarterback predictions. They went through 16 teams with QB questions as to what's going to happen at those spots this year and what the long-term play is. I want to go through some of those that I find intriguing next on The Fan.